Good morning and welcome to Good to Grow. I'm Norma Martinez.
And I'm Denise Rodriguez.
Well, Denise, the Master Gardener applications are currently being accepted there at the Texas AgriLife Center because you have a series of classes coming up here in the fall. And we have somebody really special here in the studio with us today. She is a Master Gardener, Jennifer Salter. Welcome to Good to Grow.
Thank you. Good morning.
And this is only your second year now as a Master Gardener. So we brought you in to sort of maybe give potential Master Gardeners out there listening maybe a firsthand account of what it is that you went through in becoming a Master Gardener. And first of all, we want to find out maybe what interested you in the first place of becoming a Master Gardener.
We have been in El Paso. We were here about 5 years, and I was having trouble gardening, trying to garden in the desert.
And where did you come from?
We moved from Ohio.
Oh, okay. Wow, that's a big difference. Yeah.
Yes. And my husband noticed the article in the newspaper, and I had been at Ottavino's and taken one of those morning classes and talked with one of the master gardeners, and she suggested that I might be interested in the class. So I picked up a flyer and sent off my application, and that was it.
So when you got there on the first day of classes, I guess there's maybe an initiation period on that first day. Did you feel like this was something that you were really going to have a good time with? Were you a little overwhelmed? Were you up to the challenge?
I was looking forward to it, and then I was handed this big folder of information. And after the first class, I just felt so overwhelmed. I thought, what am I doing here? But so did everybody else. And, you know, it's you're back, you're learning things that you maybe are not familiar with. So it's a little overwhelming. But as the classes went on, you realize that it's not that bad. And it's not like you're back at school where you're going to have this big test at the end. And people, it's comprehensive and people want to take away everything from you. It's, you're learning as you go along. And we learned, at least I learned quickly, that I felt overwhelmed in the class, but once I got out there and started doing my volunteer hours, everything that I thought was overwhelming started to click into place. And I would say, oh, I remember that from the class. Oh, I remember this. And you talk with the other master gardeners, and it all just flows right into place.
And Denise, just like how Jennifer was saying, volunteer hours are very important in becoming a master gardener. Mm-hmm. So, you know, what might some of those volunteer activities be?
Oh, definitely. We have, for the internship year, there are some required hours that interns have to take. That's so many hours at the Rose Garden, Vegetable Garden, and the Xeriscape Gardens. And those are really, in addition to our help desk, really the meat of the program, the most active subject areas that we do cover in the county. So they are required part of the internship year. We have classes specifically on rose care, xeriscape, native plants, and vegetables. So all of that background and that training is certainly applicable once the volunteers get out into the garden. I think also the way the class is structured, we kind of just go by building blocks, and the first class is overwhelming. It's an entire day on plant sciences. So when you're walking in there and you're thinking, oh my goodness, we're going to talk about photosynthesis and all of these chemical reactions.
Yeah, go back to, you know, sixth grade physical science class.
Right. But I think really, you know, after that initial hurdle and that almost that shock of that first class, you start seeing how that baseline information is just going to build on to the next class. And we start off very basic. You know, after the plant sciences, we go jump in right into soils. And then we go into irrigation and water. So once we get that basis covered, then we can just kind of build in a specific subjects within horticulture. So there is a reason and a method to that madness to be able to have that entire structure set up.
And so, Jennifer, I'm curious, was there a specific class that really pulled to you? Like Denise was saying, there's so many different focuses of each class, vegetables, roses, et cetera. Mm-hmm. What was the class that really perked your interest?
I went in there with an interest in vegetable gardening. And I found listening to the classes, it's like I found I had an interest in lots of other things, too. I now have roses where I never had roses before. after the tree class, we went. That was a lot of fun. We went outside. We actually got, some of us got to actually prune a tree in the garden. I went home and took a look at my trees and realized how badly pruned they were. So, yes, you may have one passion, but you develop a liking and a love for everything else, all gardening in El Paso.
I had one person even mention to me that they were kind of dreading the turf, grass, and lawn maintenance class because they're like, well, that doesn't really apply to me. I'm not really interested in that. And then after even just the half-day session that we had of that, they just appreciate the place of turf, grass, and lawn care and what goes involved in that. So I think it's almost like the unexpected.
Yes. And I think that's what's the fun about it, is that you go in there with this idea that this is what you want to learn about, and I'll hear about the other things, but then you discover you really like them all, and they all intertwine, and everything interconnects. And so, yes, you may like vegetables, but the soil class is very important. The irrigation class is very important. I've done things in my garden that I would never have done before the Master Gardener class.
So your garden was sort of the guinea pig for all your classes.
I installed a drip irrigation system in the garden that I thought it was too overwhelming for me by myself, but just talking to the other master gardeners and working in the gardens and seeing the system and repairing it when you go out there. So you're working, you're getting hands-on experience. So when you apply that to your own yard, it's not as hard anymore.
Because we always talk about master gardeners. They're just, citizen educators out here in the community. So it's such a delight to hear that they get the information, they hear the information, they see it, they do it, they apply it. Well, so then when you go into teaching that, well, that's the same thing. You're just teaching all of these different concepts. It's just a vocabulary that really what you're learning. But once it's applied, I mean, it's just really, really simple to kind of go that and then share those experiences with the community. Because whether you're educating in the garden or in a formal talk setting, you're doing the same thing. You're just sharing your experiences using these research-proven techniques. So it's a really great subject to have, like something tangible that you can do and work on that. And we really do pull in, regional experts for the class itself. Yes, it's myself, some of my other colleagues within Extension, but also contributors to and guests from the Good to Grow Show, Oscar Mestas from the Texas A&M Forest Service, as well as very own John White from the Centennial Gardens right here on campus. So these are our long-lasting horticultural experts in our region who certainly understand and know all of those challenges. So they're not imports. They definitely understand where we live and how we need to alter our gardening techniques.
Well, Jennifer, what are some of the favorite volunteer activities that you did when you were in that first year internship?
Well, we did them all because you do have to work in every garden. And I actually found I enjoyed the information tables, working at the Home and Garden Show.
And the Home and Garden Shows. Huh?
Yeah, I didn't expect to enjoy those. I don't like talking.
It can be uncomfortable. Yes, I can understand. Yeah. You're sitting at a table and you have and all these pamphlets in front of you, and you're just, hoping people will come up and talk to you. And it may seem like a bit of an awkward situation.
Right. And you feel you're an intern, therefore you don't know as much as the master gardeners. But no one ever makes you feel like you don't know anything. You actually find when you start to talk that you know more than you think you do. So that was fun. Working in the Cerescape Garden, it was really fun to learn to identify the plants there is a lot of beauty in those plants, and I don't think we give them enough credit.
What do you think maybe the most challenging part of the class is? Maybe not necessarily for you, but maybe for some of your classmates, one topic that you feel that is very important, but that perhaps people might have struggled a bit to understand. I would think maybe, like you were saying earlier, irrigation.
Yes. I know for me that was a little bit of a struggle because it can get very technical. There's a little bit of math in the water, working out how much water your garden needs, but it is so important. So, you work your way through it. It's and we help each other out. We had groups in the class where we would get together and talk through our notes and talk it over and, work things out. And if we had a problem, there was always somebody there to help out, not just in the class, but the master gardeners too.
Yeah. So I think also the diagnosing plant disorders has to be. It's one of the last classes in the series of the course, and you're putting everything together. You're putting entomology, soils, plant biology, physiology, everything together. And when people come to you and say, "What's wrong with my plant?" Whoa. That's yeah. overwhelming, even for the best of them out there. So definitely, mm-hmm. I think that seems to be kind of one issue that's difficult to people kind of feel like I should know all the answers by the end. And it's really just the beginning. Yeah.
And we do know the answers. It's just to start. We need yeah. to just start asking the questions. And once we start. But yeah, that is overwhelming, too.
Yeah. I mean, we've had these problems on our live show where people call and they sort of try to give descriptions of plants. And there are so many options on what that mm-hmm. problem could be that normally we recommend that they call the Master Gardener hotline and speak with one of the Master Gardener volunteers to give more details, because on a 15-minute show, you know, sometimes you can dedicate way more than 15 minutes to one particular plant problem.
Definitely you need to. I mean, I'd hate to, you know, make a diagnosis, you know, just off the cuff. I mean, there's just so many different things that you have to look at. And I mean, you know, last week we had six different callers yeah. call in with six completely different questions, you know, in 15 minutes. I'm like, oh, okay. Which is great, because it's wonderful, because people are observing and they're looking and kind of listening to what's going on in their garden. And that's definitely what the Master Gardener program is. A lot of people come there because they've had issues, they've had problems, they just want to learn more. And that's definitely what that whole entire program is set up, is to, you know, help the entire horticulture program in this county. So these Master Gardeners do just a great contribution all around town, and the class is just one of them. And Jennifer does a great job every class being that friendly face, because it can become overwhelming.
Yeah.
Definitely when you walk in and there's 100+ Master Gardeners in this town and you don't see them all at once, but it's nice to see a friendly face. And yeah. that's definitely what this class committee does, and be able to ease them in to the program. And there's also a great mentorship program
yes,
as well.
Yes. The Master Gardeners are there. We match them up with an intern, and they're there to answer questions. If you have any problems, they're there to help facilitate and find an answer for you. And it's really fun to get to know all these people. We have a very wide age demographic, and it's nice to see all these people gathered there together just to learn about gardening and how to do things the right way.
Well, I think that's a terrific support group, you know, mm-hmm. especially if maybe you're new to the city and you, again, like you came from Ohio mm-hmm. and you were a little shell-shocked over, you know, the drastic change in the scenery and what's around you. And I think it's a really great way to get to know people who may be in the same boat that you are, who may not have maybe a whole lot of, maybe they don't have a lot of a social network here in El Paso. And this is a great way for them to connect with people with similar interests mm-hmm. and to learn together and have that great support group from your colleagues.
It is. It's a wonderful group. Everyone is so friendly and just waiting there to help you out if you just ask.
Well, Denise, we're running out of time, so maybe give us a quick rundown on how people can get applications if they're interested in becoming a Master Gardener.
Oh, there's definitely many ways to get your application. We have our help desk set up at the Master Gardener help desk at 566-1276. There's also the Master Gardener website. The deadline to apply for the class is August the 8th.
And we have information on the Master Gardener class on the Good to Grow page at ktep.org, including a link to that application. So we invite you to go there. Well, Jennifer Salter, Master Gardener, thank you so much for coming in and telling us about your Master Gardener experience.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening today. I'm Norma Martinez.
And I'm Denise Rodriguez.
And remember, a gardener's shadow is the best way to keep your garden good to grow.